Radio Prague News.
The state attorney's office has filed charges in the open card case. A court in Brno has handed down a jail sentence for solar power plant fraud, and pensions appear set to increase in 2015. The Prague State Attorney's Office has pressed charges against 15 people in the open card case, among them former and current city councillors and a former as well as current mayor. The open card scandal concerns dubious public tenders and work carried out to develop a multi-purpose data card for the city. Current Prague Mayor Tomáš Hudáček and former Mayor Bohuslav Svoboda, as well as council members, are suspected of breaking fair competition rules and the abuse of public office. All those implicated have maintained they are innocent. A court in Brno has handed down a 6-year prison sentence to the owner of a solar power plant who fraudulently got it registered for high renewable power payments. The owner got technicians to falsely say that the plant was completed before 2010 so that it could benefit from high state subsidies. At the time, the solar panels and other equipment were not installed, and the plant was not actually up and running until February of 2011. One of the technicians was sentenced to 5 years. The court also demanded 12 million crowns to be reclaimed from the owner. A raft of similar cases are expected to come before Czech courts. Lawmakers in the Chamber of Deputies passed a government amendment on Friday which will increase pensions for seniors next year by an average of 200 crowns per month. 124 MPs voted in favor out of 154 present, well above the majority needed. The bill revives automatic pension increases based on one-third of the growth of real wages and inflation numbers. The move afterwards was welcomed by the Prime Minister, who slammed the Civic Democrats and Topo 9 of the former austerity government, claiming they had, quote, deprived pensioners of billions. A Social Democrat member of the lower house of parliament caused an uproar in the chamber on Friday when he accused the Catholic Church of being one of the biggest partners of the Nazi regime in Germany. Igor Jakubčík added that the church had also agreed to the expulsion and murder of Jews during the Second World War and helped Nazis at the end of the war to escape to South America. He was speaking during the debate on an amendment to current restitution rules which would give more time to examine church demands for property confiscated during the communist era. Jakubčík's remarks were attacked by members of the Christian Democratic Party and the right-of-center Civic Democrats. He later said that he had nothing against the current church and that he regretted what had happened after the communist takeover in 1948. A unique modern building belonging to the Czech Institute of Organic Chemistry and Biochemistry, made famous by the late researcher Antonín Holý, officially opened in Prague on Thursday. The new site, nicknamed the Cauliflower by its employees, cost more than 1 billion crowns to complete, but without state subsidies and profits from Professor Holy's patents for medicinal formulas that have been used worldwide in medicines against AIDS, smallpox, shingles, and hepatitis B. The innovative building was designed by the architects Ivan Shrom and Kateřina Maškova. Two people had to be treated in Prague hospitals for suspected spinal injuries following a crash landing of a helicopter on Friday morning. The two-person aircraft came down shortly before 9 a.m. in a field near the R10 highway outside the capital. There was no fire nor any evidence of a gas leak. The two aboard had to be freed by a rescue crew. According to information available, the small helicopter was owned by a private company and had been headed to an air show in Hradec Králové. I'm Jan Velinker. You'll find more news at radio.cz.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, Czech school leaving results are the poorest since unified exams were brought back. But are they just too hard? We'll have all the news from the world of Czech business and taking it to the streets. The art project using abandoned display cases as impromptu exhibition spots. All that's coming up in today's program. Nearly 19% of students at Czech secondary schools have this year failed their final examinations. That's the worst fail rate since unified tests were brought back 4 years ago. The education ministry says too many students are taking the exams. But some experts believe that they may just be too difficult. Jan Richter has the details.
Math has once more proved to be the most difficult subject in Czech secondary school leaving exams. According to figures released by the Education Ministry on Friday, over 24% of students failed math this year, followed by German, where the fail rate was 21.7%. In English, meanwhile, it was 9.5% and only 6.5% of students failed Czech. In total, 18.7% of the roughly 87,600 students failed the exams held in April and May at secondary schools across the country. That's the worst result since 2011, when the unified tests were brought back after a gap of 2 decades. Education Minister Marcel Chládek believes the fail rate is due to the large numbers of students sitting the exams.
I don't think the problem is a sharp increase of the fail rate, because in 2012 it was 18.2%. The problem is the high fail rate as such. That makes the system not so effective, also financially. We'll have to review the whole system and the numbers of students who sit the exams. I believe too many students take the exams, and this is reflected in the poor results.
Masifikace se výrazně odráží pak na snižování výsledků studentů.
Prior to 2011, each of the country's 1,300 or so schools designed their own exams. The authorities believed that this seriously undermined their value and also made it difficult to compare individual schools. But the new system means that students at every secondary school, from elite grammar schools to vocational schools, take the same exam. Minister Chládek is now questioning whether future car mechanics and hairdressers really need to prove themselves in the same way as prospective nuclear scientists. Some experts, however, question the minister's approach. Ondřej Štefl is the head of SCIO, a leading Czech educational consultancy.
Students who take these exams now will be at the peak of their powers in around 2045. We have no idea what the world will be like then, and we should provide them with some basic general education and enable them to requalify, to graduate from university and to advance their professional careers. And instead, we're considering cutting their access to education.
Instead, according to Ondřej Štefl, the difficulty of the exams should be adjusted. In international testing by the OECD, Czech students did much better in math than in languages, a result contradicted by the results of the school leaving exams.
And that report was by Jan Richter. Now it's time for a roundup of the latest news from the world of Czech business. And for that, I'm joined by Chris Johnstone.
Czech Agricultural Minister Marian Jurečka says he's considering pushing for a cut in the excise duty on beer. He said the previous hike resulted in a drop in production and lower earnings for the state. Duties were raised by caretaker finance minister Edvard Janota in 2010. Last year, Czech beer production rose slightly, but domestic consumption dropped by just over 1%, with total sales supported by stronger exports.
Iraq could be interested in the purchase of up to 40 combat helicopters. The Czech Ministry of Defense says that talks over the sale of Russian-produced Mi-24 helicopters are ongoing, with the possibility that some, but certainly not all, could be furnished by the ministry's specialized repair and servicing company, LOM. Iraq has previously expressed interest in purchasing access-to-requirement L-159 subsonic fighter and trainer planes. The ministry pointed out that the current instability in Iraq is complicating a final deal.
A Czech court has taken what's been described as a Pandora box decision by rescinding the license of a significant solar power company. Brno's regional court took the decision with regard to the license awarded in 2010 and is demanding the return of around 40 million crowns a year in subsidies for renewable electricity production received since that date. The plant was owned by the company Solar CD, which took out substantial bank loans to cover construction costs, and there's a danger now that the banks could lose out. A series of similar licensing cases are waiting in the wings.
A major shake-up has taken place at one of the Czech Republic's biggest power companies. The PPF group, dominated by the richest Czech, Petr Kellner, is selling out its 40% stake in the EPH group to the other shareholders for a sum reckoned to total more than 30 billion crowns. The new arrangement gives businessmen Daniel Kretensky and Patrick Tkach 37% shares each, with the J&T Investment Group owning the remaining stake.
The Czech Post Office says it's looking at the possibility of getting a banking license and launching its own banking services. At the moment, the Post Office is teamed up with one of the country's biggest banks, Czech SOB, to offer financial services. But that agreement runs out in 2017. Separately, the government says it will keep Czech Post's 3,200-strong network of main and local branches intact, in spite of pressure to make savings by cutting loss-making sub-post offices.
Thank you for that, Chris Johnstone. Now, Ukradena Galleria, Stolen Gallery, is a project that uses abandoned outdoor display cases to show works by both famous and lesser-known artists. It was launched more or less by accident when Alessandra Svatek and fellow artist Artur Magrot placed their own work in one such box. For this week's edition of The Arts, Alessandra Svatek told Jan Wellinger how the whole project came about.
It began in Český Krumlov in May 2010. It was not planned. We've been living in Český Krumlov for some time, and walking around the street, we found an abandoned display case. These boxes that are in these countries very, very often, they were in use before, and now there are many of them which are abandoned. So one night, we just cut the lock off and decided to place an artwork in this box to show it to people, to passersby, to make a different day for them, basically.
These display cases, they were kind of locked bulletin boards which were used under communism, and then after the revolution, many of them were left unused.
Yeah, there are still many of them are in use, but many of them are abandoned, and we always use just the abandoned ones. We just thought we will place one artwork and go away, and that's it. But we met some friends and we had a bottle of wine and we said, yeah, okay, come in 10 minutes, you will see an opening, like a show. And they came and they brought glasses for wine. And so we had a little opening and we decided to do it again 1 week later if nothing happened. And nothing happened. So since then, every week, in Český Krumlov, it was every Sunday at midnight, we had an opening of an exhibition. And since then, it's every week. Now it's 4 years.
And the idea has caught on. I very much like the idea of the vernissage being held in the open street. Is that part of the attraction, the fact that people can get together in an almost impromptu fashion?
Yeah, the idea was also to do something for people that usually don't go to galleries because it's not part of their world, or they just don't think about it, or they feel it's not for them, like it's too intellectual, or it's not for normal people.
Do you remember what that first piece was that was put in the display case?
It was just something like a pirate flag with our two heads, me and Artur Magrot, which is the other person that was there with me. And we are working together. And there was also the catalog. We put it in the broken one. We put it in the box to show it. And mm-hmm. we put a new one.
And were you and Artur working already in street art before this project began?
Not since very long, but since we met in Český Krumlov. Because we felt this city is... everything there is made just for tourists. Everything is made to look like old, and mm-hmm. there's nothing real and alive going on. And so we were looking for places that we thought they need something like an intervention.
An intervention, that's a nice word. Is that say, a principle that has remained with Ukradená galerie?
Yes, but the most important is that all the Ukradená galleries, they born where there is someone who wants them. So it's not our project that we go somewhere and we open a gallery there, Ukradená gallery box. But it's very important. This is how it was each time. It was like this, that
the initiative comes from people.
Someone heard about it and they say, I want this in my place, and let's find an empty box and let's do it, because there's a lot of work behind it. Like every week you have to organize something, and it's made without money, without it's all on the will of people. So we cannot go somewhere and open a place and then go away, and it would not last.
Right.
So this is the idea.
Mm-hmm. I read that there were some initial legal difficulties, because even though the display cases are abandoned or not used regularly, they still belong to municipalities. Has that been a problem?
Yes, but I think they didn't even notice it for a half year. Mm-hmm. So about, I don't know how many weeks. And then we got an anonymous letter in the box that we should leave it because they need it for someone who is renting it. But it was not signed, nothing. It could be a joke, we didn't know. But still, this was not the purpose, was not to occupy something. It was to use something which is not in use. So we left, we found another box and we moved. But after another half year, nothing changed in the first place. They didn't even took away what was left after us.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved back, and we more exhibitions for I don't know, 2-3 more months. And then one morning there was the exhibition was each time in the Sunday at midnight.
Okay.
And one day there was an exhibition of a professor of the Academy of Linz, Georg Ritter, with a very nice work, and a lot of people came. And in the morning, Monday in the morning, very early, someone knocked on our window and said, "Hey, where's the gallery?" And so we thought it was a joke. No, someone said, hide it and said, stolen gallery, stolen. But it was true, and it disappeared. And we called the city, and they said, no, we have nothing to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So we replaced it. We put a new one. We found another box. And this happened 3 times.
That and something then, was stolen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Each time in the Monday morning, it was stolen. And then we brought up a blacksmith, and he sealed it.
Okay.
And then the day after, they call us from the city, "Hey, how you dare to do this? We cannot remove it anymore." So it was very funny. But then we changed place. We moved to another place. And now we had no problems anymore.
It strikes me that there's a kind of playfulness in much of the work, that you might walk by and not even notice it right away, but then something will click. You'll go back and have a look.
Yeah.
So there's that dynamic. Do people respond to that?
Sure, yeah. There is many people that they told us they changed their way.
Of walking?
Their normal, everyday way to pass near to get by the gallery at least once in a week to see what's new. And it's interesting also the direction, how the artists work with this space, because it's a different space than a normal gallery. They do more experiments than they would do in a normal gallery, because they know they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a normal gallery, an artist is always under the eyes of everyone. And if he makes a mistake, he will carry it with his history forever.
Mm-hmm.
But here, it's possible to make experiments. It's like a free platform.
over 4 years since the project began, I read that something like 700 artists, many of them notable, some lesser known, have taken part. Who were some of the better known? And then who were some people who sort of began and made their name through the gallery?
Most known, I think it was Jan Hisek, which is an artist who had a big exhibition in Rudolfinum. We had Roman Tietz from Stoven, Epos 257. We had Jiří David made something for the gallery. He was not there personally, but he made it for the gallery. Mm-hmm. And we had Vít Soukup, which is a painter he's dead already, mm-hmm. but he's in the National Gallery. We had some interesting architects because we also show like architectural studios. So we had Jan Šepka, we had Hatrite, like many studios.
And was there anybody who sort of was discovered through Ukrajina Galerie?
We discovered a lot of people.
Where are all the stolen galleries now? What cities, what towns?
Český Krumlov, Prague, Písek, Děčín, in Dresden there is one. There's one in Linz, but it's not really working in the moment. There is one in Banská Štiavnica, there is one in Telč, and now there is one who will open very soon in Milano, in Italy.
Yeah. Do they bear the logo of the gallery now, or does it still look like a regular display case, bulletin board?
Normally there is at least the name Ukradená galerie written on it or sprayed.
So there's some indication now for people who, say, are not familiar with it.
Yeah, and there's one also in Lisbon for a period. And what is nice, what is funny, it's that all of them keep the Czech name, the Czech version of the name Ukradená galerie.
They don't use stolen gallery.
No.
What do you foresee the future for Ukradená galerie to be at this point? It's up and running. It's very busy work. Do you think at some point that you will leave the administration up to somebody else so that you can work more on your own stuff, or how will that be in the future?
Yeah, not for the moment. It would be nice to have more people to share all this work, but we are quite a lot of people all together, so this is good. The gallery is going up. I would say we have better and better artists, and we have more and more places. Some places, of course, also started and stopped. Mm-hmm. This is natural, and it's okay because it means there is no more the necessity or the will to do it, and so it will stop somewhere. It will start somewhere else.
Were there any artists who came away with less than a positive feeling about the project? Maybe somebody expected something different, and in the end, it wasn't for them.
I think no. Maybe they thought it's just a box, so they did their exhibition like they didn't care much. And then when they saw the people is coming and they are asking questions, and so they felt a little bit strange, and they asked for another date. But
So they took it as a missed opportunity that they didn't commit really the way that maybe they should have.
Yeah, because they thought it's just a box in the street.
It's never just a box. Everybody should know that by now.
Yeah.
Alessandra Svatek, I want to thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks to you.
And Alessandra Svatek of the Stolen Gallery was talking to Jan Wellinger. If you've got any comments about today's program, please share them with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz. or on Facebook or via Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.